A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven,
in time
concentrate on
space.
Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 334. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are continuing our discussion about Terry Pratchett's The Colour of Magic. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Yes, we're talking about two 90-minute episodes from Sky TV in 2008, that is an adaptation of Terry Pratchett's much-loved books, particularly the first two books from his series, and it's got an astonishing cast, and it gives us this funny fantasy romp that mixes sword and sorcery, failed wizards, dragons, a sort of ridiculous adventure through the strange Discworld from the Pratchett novels. Quite a lot going on and quite a lot to talk about, really, Brian.
Yes, and this is all in Terry Pratchett's well-known Discworld setting. So as we go a little bit further with the story, Rincewind and Two Flowers' comical adventures continue with, of all things, an unintended journey into space going off the edge of the world. Meanwhile, back at the Unseen University, Trimon is continuing to scheme and make plays for power, and he becomes the arch-chancellor of the university.
Yes, the man who was prepared to murder his way to the top succeeds.
And the people of the great city of Ankh-Morpork are terrified by a new red star in the sky that is apparently growing larger.
Yes, red things in the sky are always associated with trouble and danger, and the citizens become very concerned about this. And the wizards realize they have got to get the Octavo spell back from Rincewind's mind. So a team of mercenaries are dispatched to bring back the comical travelers from the edge of the world and back to the city. And, of course, along the way, we will have an encounter and a surprise intervention by a very retired and extremely elderly, the infamous Cohen the Barbarian of the Discworld novels. And it's another interesting and notable actor crops up in this star-studded production, Brian.
Yes, we have David Bradley as Cohen the Barbarian. And this was before he played William Hartnell in the Doctor Who docudrama drama and adventure in space and time, and it was certainly before he took up the role of the first Doctor in new Doctor Who productions and Big Finish productions, and even before he was in Game of Thrones as well. But it's lovely to see David Bradley there, and he does the aging warrior type character in this very well indeed.
Absolutely, yes, and lovely to see him there. It's great stuff and very amusing. And of course, we've got this, you know, all these various plots converging, the wizards, the red star in the sky, Rincewind and Two Flower out on their travels, mercenaries sent to get them, Cohen the Barbarian, and it's all heading for a sort of big showdown back in the Unseen University where the fate of the world will be determined. Yeah, it's building up to a nice climax of this sort of sword and sorcery fantasy romp that we're in.
Oh yes, absolutely. So we need to talk a bit about the books and how they were adapted for this. The serial, this two-episode serial we're looking at, is based on the first two books of Terry Pratchett's Discworld series. The Color of Magic from 1983 tells the story of Rincewind and Two Flowers travels and finishes with a sort of Lost in Space type cliffhanger that we have at the end of the first episode.
And then interestingly, although the two books are often seen as sort of like two parts of the same story, fans had to wait from 1983 to 1986 for the second book, The Light Fantastic, which picks up that cliffhanger and deals with the consequences, and particularly, I think, really gets into this thing about the Octavo spell that is stuck in Rincewind's head, but also Trimond's rise to power back in the Unseen University. And of course, as a sort of two-part story, it's quite fitting that they were sort of smushed together in a way to make this Sky TV adaptation. As you know, Terry Pratchett said, there probably wasn't enough in one of the books alone. So it really works well, and it sort of lends itself to this two-part story that we've been looking at.
Yeah, and Terry Pratchett in his introduction talked about how he didn't feel the first book had as much plot as it should to carry things, but the second one did, and that sort of merging the two together so some of it would be concurrent was the best option for doing a production like this.
Obviously there were bits of the books that didn't make it up on screen, and Wikipedia has a fairly complete list of that. And I guess, you know, the avid Terry Pratchett fan would be able to tell us the parts of the novels that were left out. But it's, you know, I think most of the story is up there on screen for us, apart from a few interludes where Two Flower and Rincewind were off on other adventures.
There were a total of 41 Discworld novels by Terry Pratchett, which cemented his fame as one of the UK's best-loved comic writers and most famed fantasy writers as well. That really is quite the phenomenon. And the paperback versions are also remembered for Josh Kirby's artwork. The cover images for them were quite a big deal as well.
Yes, a big part of the sort of Pratchett mythos and legend was the wonderful and, again, very humorous covers that Josh Kirby provided. And I'm trying to think of other book series set in the same world that have gone to 41 novels or more. And there can't be very many, Brian. You know, he certainly was prolific once he got going, Terry Pratchett. You know, fans of the Game of Thrones series might be wondering whether George R.R. Martin could hurry up a little bit. But Terry Pratchett, 41 books is an astonishing achievement.
Yeah, from one author, certainly. And this actually had some spin-offs, too.
Yes, well, we do get spin-offs from the world of Terry Pratchett. I mean, it's perhaps not specifically spin-offs from this show, but we should say that Terry Pratchett's works have been adapted many times. Obviously, there's audio books of all the novels. I should mention in passing, of course, that he did write other novels outside of the Discworld series. But Discworld has been adapted for video games, board games, card games, role-playing games. There's been radio productions. There's been theatrical productions. There's been fan films. We have got, at some point, two other Sky TV adaptations, Hogfather from 2006 and Going Postal from 2010, that we may talk about at some point. And I gather, Brian, you've also seen some of the animated adaptions.
Yes, there were a number of adaptations for animated productions as well. So there really is a lot. And I know there's quite a collection of them there for radio productions as well. So there really has been a lot done with those books.
Amazingly successful, this series. We should point out, of course, that Terry Pratchett is sadly no longer with us. He died in 2015 at the age of 66, which seems like no age at all, particularly to be afflicted by early onset Alzheimer's disease, which was, of course, what he was suffering from. And the last Discworld novel was The Shepherd's Crown, which was published after his death. So very sad that there won't be any more, of course. But so many other versions and such like rich, you know, rich source material for all these various different spin-offs into other media over the years.
He really did give us a rich world and a rich collection of stories.
And some of which we may come back to in the future. Who knows?
We may indeed.
So it's time to talk about good magic and bad magic, or, you know, the bits we liked and the bits we didn't like of this Sky TV version of The Colour of Magic. Brian, how would you like to start us off in the positives?
I have to start with the cast for this, because they assembled a remarkable cast. It is a large cast full of big names with Hollywood recognized stars like Tim Curry and Jeremy Irons and Brian Cox and so on. And it's not only that these are big name actors, they're also quite acclaimed and they're very good. So this has an amazing cast. And I think across the board, they put in some very solid performances. It's really a great show for actors and for acting.
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, as you say, what an astonishing star-studded cast they've managed. And they're all doing great work. But, you know, right the way down through the cast, everybody is doing top-notch stuff. You know, as we say, we love to hear the voice of Christopher Lee, to hear the voice of Brian Cox. But David Jason is fantastic. David Bradley is fantastic. Sean Astin, who in many ways, as you said, Brian, is sort of spoofing his famous role as Sam in the Lord of the Rings movies. And there's some nice little nods and in-jokes along the way about that. It's just fantastic. The act, you know, the people involved and the performances they give. So lovely. I'm sort of looking forward to catching up with the Hogfather version and seeing how Ian Richardson did the voice of Death. But Christopher Lee as the voice of Death from the Terry Pratchett novels is just as fantastic.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, David Bradley shows up in the second half and not even right at the beginning of the second half and puts in a wonderful performance. So, you know, we have all sorts of, you know, big names in often not very big roles. Jeremy Irons is the patrician, not a very big role, but he does a lot with it. And Sean Astin does have a big role as Two Flower, but it's perhaps quite a challenging one to do this sort of hapless, little bit incompetent kind of character and make him interesting and make us like him. And he does that very well.
He does indeed. Yes, he is very likable, as is David Jason's Rincewind, who is, you know, the incompetent wizard who hasn't got to level one, but is great fun throughout. I mean, I know there were, again, from reading up on this, that there were some fan criticisms that David Jason was probably too old for the character of Rincewind, who is depicted a bit younger in the books. But I think we have to give credit to Jason's star power in a way that sort of helps at least get some of these productions made by Sky TV. He's such an important figure on British television.
Yes, absolutely.
So what about the look of this production, how it appears on screen, the production, the sound, the CGI and so on, Brian?
I like the look quite a bit, actually. I think they gave it a bright, fairly quirky look with the settings. I think the way that they did the costuming was very good. It's a little bit tongue-in-cheek in how they did the costuming, I think, with the wizard hats being a little over the top and being clearly very important. They gave Two Flower a look that was clearly based on a modern tourist stereotype, with them wearing a shirt that is almost a Hawaiian shirt or an Aloha shirt, but not quite, but has those bright colors and things. I like those things and those touches a lot. The CGI, I thought, worked pretty well in this. I didn't think it was overused. It is a little bit dated. There are better things now, a decade later, of course. but I think for what it was doing, I thought it looked good.
Yes, I mean, I would agree with you. The costumes are great. The sets are great. The CGI does, as you say, looks like 10 years old CGI. And of course, if we compare it to Game of Thrones, which is probably an unfair comparison considering the huge budget that Game of Thrones has and the sort of cutting-edge CGI dragons in that. But I think it looks pretty good, actually. I think throughout, the Sky TV production is pretty lavish, and certainly, you know, the sets, the characters, the costumes and so on, and the sounds and so on, I think they're all great, actually. I really enjoyed it. I had no real sort of nitpicks with it and the way it looked and sounded.
Yeah, for a 3-hour TV production, this had some budget and it shows.
Which is great stuff. Of course, it's a comedy, and we always have that sort of tricky discussion about whether or not shows are funny enough. We've often talked about the difficulties of science fiction comedy. I think possibly this might be one of the first sort of fantasy comedies that we've approached, Brian.
I think it might be, yeah. And it's interesting to see what they do with it, for sure.
Yes, it is. Because, of course, Terry Pratchett is well known for the sort of satirical elements of his books, which are very much looking at sort of aspects of modern life and then playing them out in a fantasy setting. And it's slightly tricky, I suppose, to make that transition and make us laugh. But actually, I think they did a pretty good job. I think that, you know, the way they sort of translated it for the screen, the characters. I mean, I think it helps that you have such immense comic screen performances like David Jason and Tim Curry, to name but two. But also, I mean, Sean Astin, as you say, Brian, he's very used to doing that sort of slightly comic aspect of his roles. And even Christopher Lee, you know, who can turn in a nice comic turn as the sort of ironic voice of death. So actually, it did make me laugh, this production. I did enjoy it. It made me smile many a time.
Yeah, I would have to say that the humor in it, the comedy in it, worked reasonably well. It's hard to make that work in something like this, and I think they did okay. For me, the humor is probably the weak point of it, and the stronger side of it is the fantasy story and the characters and what everyone is going through. Those things are what carries it for me, but I think for what they were doing, the comedy worked reasonably well.
Okay. Anything else sort of against this show on the negative side of things that you noted at all, Brian?
I don't think there is. I think it generally really works quite well.
Yes, it does. I mean, I sort of noted similarities to another Sky show that we covered, The Last Dragon Slayer, which is about 8 years later, 2016 show. And certainly some of the outside filming in Snowdonia, I think they share location work. That, of course, was again had certain comic aspects to it. I suppose that might be our other comic fantasy show now I think about it. But yeah, I think actually I would prefer The Colour of Magic. I think it does it better in this earlier production.
Yeah, maybe so. There are two very different productions with two very different story premises. And I think the blending of modern ideas with older ideas and sort of our fantasy versions of the past, I think that juxtaposition was done really well in The Last Dragon Slayer. And the Pratchett books are just not about that. So the two are quite different in that way.
Okay. It is an interesting show that we've had some fun discussing and talking about. I guess we're getting close to recommendation time for our listeners. Do you want to start us off, Brian, on this one?
Sure, I can do that. I am going to recommend this. I think it was great fun. It has some very good performances in it. The humor, I think, does work. You know, how well it works, I'm sure, varies from person to person. But the fantasy story and the production of it and the cast and the performances are all very solid indeed. So this is a very good show. So yes, I'm definitely going to give this a recommendation.
Excellent stuff. It's going to be another double recommendation for us here on British Invaders, because I had a great time with The Colour of Magic. I would confess that I am not fully up on all of the 41 Terry Pratchett novels. I've read a handful of them, and I would be interested if any of our listeners really are dedicated Pratchett readers to let us know what they thought of this version on screen. But yeah, I thought it was great fun. It's readily available, DVD, Blu-ray, and in certain parts of the world, streaming. So yeah, I would say if you've not had a look at it, but you're a Pratchett fan, or you've got any interest at all in that sort of comedy mixture of sword and sorcery with some humour, plus, of course, this astonishing cast, then I would say check it out. So two thumbs up here on British Invaders. But as ever, do let us know if you think we've got it wrong, if you feel that it didn't live up to the imagination of the Pratchett novels. Do get in touch.
Yes, absolutely. So, in summary, Terry Pratchett's The Color of Magic introduces us to a tourist, the first tourist in Discworld, called Twoflower, who is haplessly trying to explore the world while a disgraced, unsuccessful wizard, Rincewind, is led to encounter him and given instructions to be his guide and help him. And these two have adventures through this world while the wizard Trimon is at the Unseen University and doing all sorts of things to advance his position at all costs, putting everyone out of the way when he has to. And this also links them to Rincewind and Twoflower through this important spell that has been hidden away in Rincewind's mind. And we also bring in this idea of something in the sky that is threatening the world itself.
Fantastic stuff. Not easy to summarize the multiple plots and complexities of Terry Pratchett, but well done.
There is definitely lots of fun stuff in there.
Absolutely. And hopefully you'll find lots of fun stuff when you come back and join us next time. We're looking at a BBC show from 1986. It's one of our spooky children's shows again. And this one is called The Children of Green Know. And it's well, I guess maybe sort of time-slippy spooks we'll talk about next time.
Yes, absolutely. That should be a fun one to look at. So until then, you can find us at BritishInvaders.com. All of our past episodes are there. And if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our Facebook group. And we always have some good discussions going on there.
Absolutely. And you'll also find good content at the Voice of Geeks Network, where British Invaders is a proud member. Check out all the stuff that you can find at VogNetwork.com. VogNetwork.com for the Voice of Geeks.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Until next time, it's Eamon in England also signing off.